All right, folks, let's lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, talk some Pac-12 football and more with one of the most versatile and best in the biz. He's with the Pac-12 Network, ESPN. Those current wildcard qualifying Oakland A's, he regularly survives Walton. He'll be behind the mic here tomorrow alongside Big Ann Heron with Lewis Johnson. A fantastic Pac-12 crew. Follow him on Twitter at Roxy Bernstein. Always look forward to this. Roxy, how are you?
I'm good, Steve. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I love this time of year. This turns me back into a 12-year-old. Well, my wife would argue that really never changed, but that's a story for another time. I've got to ask you, I know we got a bunch of football to talk about, but as an MLB junkie, obviously you cover the A's, you broadcast the games, and you know, I went through the MLB, the ESPN, the CBS Sports previews. Nobody had the A's as a contender. From your chair, how much of a surprise have they been, and how much more fun does that make it?
Oh, it makes it immensely more fun when you're playing for something this time of the year, that these games are meaningful in as you get to September. To be honest with you, I'm surprised. I didn't necessarily think the A's would be to what extent. I honestly, Steve, anticipated them being an 85-win team this year. I had questions about the starting pitching, and especially when guys went down in spring training, when you had Tommy John for Jarrell Cotton and A.J. Puck. They were extremely thin at the starting rotation, and it's still that way. But this team has just found ways. They have a fantastic bullpen. They hit timely home runs. They're exceptional defensively, especially at the corners when you look at Matt Chapman and Matt Olson. Ramon Laureano's given them a spark as well in center field since he's come up. So it's surprising that they're in this position, but it's certainly rewarding, and Bob Melvin has done an amazing job with this team this year.
No question about it. So you called the game last night in Salt Lake City. The Utes overcame that horrible start and end up winning going away. But I love the fact with about 5 minutes left in the game, you and Anthony are talking about the backup quarterback, Jason Shelley, and you were talking about Tyler Huntley being injury prone, his capability. And then the next play, he makes a perfect read, breaks off a 40-yard run. So could we use that as an example for young broadcasters? Do your homework.
Yeah, but also I think there's a lot of luck involved, too. He just happened to make us look good that we were talking about him. But, yeah, you got to be prepared, right, Steve? You never know what you're going to see, and you never know whose opportunity is going to arrive and at what point of the ball game. And doesn't matter if it's, you know, football, basketball, you got to be ready for all things coming your way.
No, that was awesome moment. We know that despite having some really good players on the other side of the ball, the recent calling card of Utah has been the defense, you know, the whole Salt Lake City. They dipped a bit last year, and while they fell behind last night because of turnovers, like Coach Burton and Yogi Roth said on the postgame, it looked like they had more than 11 guys out there. How impressive was that performance by that Utah D last night?
Very impressive. You know, they gave up just about 60 yards of total offense for the entire night. Now, I think Weber State was a bit overmatched. It was pretty obvious, Steve, when you saw it. And Caden Jenks, their redshirt freshman quarterback, it just seemed like he was more than a deer in headlights, that he had no idea what he was looking at. But that is a good defensive football team, as we know. And I asked Kyle Whittingham on Wednesday, leading up to the game, where does he feel the deepest part of his football team is, and he had a long pause and he said, you know, I want to say it's the defensive backfield because everybody thinks it's our DBs, but I still think it's our D-line. And that says a lot considering he wasn't even sure exactly which was the deepest unit he had in his own football team. And year in, year out, they play defense, they don't beat themselves, and even they ran that one, you know, they won that one going away last night despite being a -4 in the turnover battle.
We're talking Pac-12 football with Roxy Bernstein in town for the call of tomorrow's opener at Autzen. So this is kind of a unique period for Oregon football. You know, they had two coaches from 77 through 2008, now a third in 3 years. As somebody who's wired into this league and you talk to colleagues plus your own observations, how would you describe the buzz about the new guy, Mario Cristobal, as the head duck?
Well, there is buzz. And we just literally, I got out of a meeting with him about an hour ago, Steve. We're talking just about this team and leading up to the game tomorrow and his excitement level. And he's impressive. You spend time with him, and you know he's prepared. He's ready for this. He had, you know, a situation at FIU which was difficult to deal with. He got through it. He had some success down there. But he's ready for this opportunity. And he's saying the right things. He's got the buy-in factor is the biggest thing. And I really believe he's got that with his locker room. I think it helps that he was here last year with this group. And now he slides, okay, one office down and takes over as the head man. And I think it'll be the easiest transition in the league when you look at the five new coaches in the Pac-12 just because of the familiarity aspect. And he's such a likable, personable guy, which you know. And he's a tremendous recruiter, so I think there's a lot of excitement that's warranted with this Oregon football program right now.
Now, you were here in 2016 and called the Civil War. It was a season that was a disaster. Then you were here late last year for a win at Autzen against Arizona, where the Oregon defense allowed just 7 points in the second half. Now year two under Jim Leavitt, most of the staff. How noticeable was the turnaround on that side of the ball, which and hopefully to continue into this year, which I see as a really big reason to be optimistic about this team?
It was night and day. You look at the numbers and just the improvement they made. And, okay, yes, in the yards per game that went down, but also how far they jumped in the Division I standings in many of those important defensive categories we look at, whether it's third down defense, whether it's sacks, tackles for loss, the run defense last year. Those are the things that really stood out to me about how much better this football team got defensively last year. And they're recruiting well, which I think will give them some depth. I know there's some questions about their depth heading into the season and some inexperience in youth who we're going to see in the game tomorrow. But these guys are ready. I really believe it. And talking to the coaches and getting prepared for this game, yes, it's a young group behind the frontline guys, but a group that I think is ready to play some football, and they're going to get after it tomorrow against Bowling Green.
Now, I saw you mention it on Twitter, and we talked about it with the Bowling Green play-by-play guy, Todd Walker, but they've got a new defensive coordinator, Carl Pelini, who worked for his brother, Bo, at Nebraska. He's also been a head coach, and I understand you met with him today. So what are your impressions? It seems like this is a really big hire for Mike Jinks in that program.
It is, and it's surprising that somebody of Carl Pelini's stature would be available like this. Now, he was with Bo the last few years at Youngstown State, and they had a lot of success there in making the FCS championship game a couple of years ago. They're going to be aggressive. They're going to get after Oregon. I think they're going to pressure him and especially take some chances maybe, try to maybe play a little one-on-one on the outside, make Oregon's receivers prove they can make plays. I think they're going to get after Justin Herbert tomorrow. They're going to try to disguise some things and come at him from different spots in the field. But this is a program in Bowling Green that has had some success previously. Okay, yeah, they're coming off just a 2-win year, but this is year three for Mike Jinks as the head coach. But the interesting thing, I don't know if you saw this on Twitter, I tweeted at Faux Pelini asking for advice how to deal with Carl.
Now that,
and
that's
Faux Pelini said, make sure you have witnesses.
No, that's a great Twitter account. Believe me, we follow that and get a lot of laughs.
Unbelievable follow.
It's awesome. A couple final thoughts for Roxy Bernstein. Being based in the Bay Area, I got to ask you about Stanford. I think David Shaw does get his due, but I think I remain impressed by the work he's done. It's now year 8. He's been 4 major bowls. They've got a rough schedule. You know, USC next week. They go at Oregon, at Notre Dame just this month. They visit the Huskies. But they always seem to find answers. What's the buzz about what this team is capable of this year?
Yeah, these first 6 weeks, other than the UC Davis game, other than Davis beat San Jose State last night, but this is a very difficult stretch for Stanford to start the year. They come here later in September. They have to go to Notre Dame in these first 6 weeks, play Utah, so it's challenging for David Shaw. The feeling around Stanford this year is, I think there's the most questions, Steve, about their defense. than we've seen in a long time. Normally, you kind of know what to expect with Stanford, but there's a lot of question marks about them defensively, where it's the offense where you're going, okay, Stanford may have to outscore some teams this year, which we haven't seen from them. And you have Bryce Love, who's among the leading candidates for the Heisman Trophy. They have playmakers at receiver. The tight ends are back in this offense. And K.J. Costello, if he can stay healthy, has shown that he could be a top-level quarterback in this league. So it may come down, believe it or not, to Stanford outscoring some teams, which is a bit different. And David Shaw, who normally plays that, you know, pound the ball and grind it out because he can trust his defense, they may have to open a scene in the past.
Royalty with Dave, the Hall of Famer, all those years. The Niners, Josh, the tight end from the Rose Bowl team, and it's now year two running that program. They started out great last year. Then there was a lot of stumbling. They get the backfield back this year, some talent back on defense. What's the word about what we might expect from Justin and the Bears this season?
Well, they're trying to build on what they did, Steve, last year. You have 5 wins, and that wasn't good enough for Justin. He wasn't happy. And even though they made strides and showed a lot of potential for the future, but he was frustrated and disappointed that they didn't make a bowl game. And, you know, they had 3 losses by a combined 7 points. And you look at the UCLA game, the Arizona game that went double overtime, and even the Stanford game, which was on the road. So that wasn't good enough, and they're trying to build on what they did last year, and they have a lot of returning starters, which is a big help for him. So it's an important debut for him tomorrow. With North Carolina coming in, a team they beat last year, it's important for them to get off on the right note. And if you look at the first 7 weeks, they have opportunities to win a number of games to start the year and put themselves in a good position to go to a bowl. I think that they are a bowl team this year. But it's going to be tough because we know the league is tough, and the schedule doesn't really do them any favors. They're playing at BYU next week. But I do expect Cal to be a bowl team this year and take another step forward under Justin Wilcox.
Yeah, those two of those last 3 games at SC and home for Stanford could tell a story. Folks, he's Roxy Bernstein, one of the best in the business, along with Anthony Herron and Lewis Johnson, bringing you Ducks Falcons tomorrow on Twitter at Roxy Bernstein. Roxy, always appreciate the time, the insight, and I look forward to saying hello tomorrow, and thanks so much for joining us.
You got it. Pleasure's always mine, Steve.
All right, take it easy, buddy.